Hey, welcome to Younger and Older. This is Jason and Dave hanging out at the studios at Silver Tranch in the North Woods of Wisconsin, getting ready to have another great discussion, because that's what we love to do. We just like to take time, hang out, and just talk about stuff.
Which is something that people should do, but we don't do anymore.
That's very true.
So if you haven't sat down and had a discussion with somebody, maybe even from another generation, perhaps this could be a time where you just join us in the discussion, and you can talk to the device, I guess. Can you talk to a device?
I mean, maybe.
Maybe. I mean, as long as you're probably alone and nobody thinks you're weird. Or maybe they're thinking you're talking on a phone. I don't know what device you're watching this on. Do they watch things on devices? Did I get that right?
Yeah, yeah.
So you have a device and
Or they're listening to it.
Or they're listening to
it. Yeah, you don't have to watch it. Because we do offer this in video or audio format now.
That's right.
So you can check us out on YouTube or you can go to your favorite podcasting destination.
And you can find it there as well.
And you can subscribe on either of them. Different methods. If you're on YouTube, you can hit the bell. That way you know when there's a new one. Or if you subscribe to whether it's whatever podcast, you could always get notified too when there's a new one too. So.
Oh, you're getting ready for summer. Are you excited about that?
Oh, I'm super excited. It's that season, you know, we were just talking about where there's so many details that fly in and out of my head. Some of them big, some of them small, but there's details, and that just means there's a lot of stuff going on.
It gets a little harder to sleep in a good way.
Oh, yes.
Because,
yes.
I mean, excitement causes a certain amount of tension.
Yes.
Now, here's what's really weird. In our country, tension and that kind of thing is looked bad upon, but you need that.
Yeah.
I mean, when I used to play football, it was like you're going against people that really want to beat you up in a loose way. and so you're looking at it going, okay, what do I need to do? And you're thinking about what you need to do. And thinking about what you need to do isn't bad. It kind of excites you.
Yeah.
Because there's something coming up and there's a challenge coming up.
Yep.
And if there's a challenge, it means that possibly it can't happen.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, it's not a challenge. If 100% it's going to happen, if I could look at somebody on the football field and have them say, please go get the quarterback, that's not exciting.
No, it's not. I wouldn't tune in.
No, and you would think, I'm the best defensive end that ever played the game because look at all the sacks I have. Yeah, but everybody says, please go get the quarterback, and they help you run towards them.
Yeah.
Well, that's not a challenge. Mm-hmm. So if you're listening today, if you think the challenges in life are something that are bothersome, they're not. That's what gives you life, and that's what gives you meaning. And if you get up every day and you have no challenges, you don't have any reason to live.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you really don't. If you get up in the morning, it's like, I have nothing to do today. I have no reason to go out and work energy off or you got a problem.
Yeah.
So in one way, as Jason and I talk about the summer, how busy it is right now and how we're getting ready for it and how much is on our minds, we can say, boy, it'd be nice if not so much were on our minds. But then again, it's great that there's something on our minds because we have a challenge in front of us.
Right. And it's through those challenges that God continues to grow and push and develop us. You know, like each year is I know what I'm doing, but each year I get pushed in and I grow. Yeah. In a way that summer happens. You know, I mean, it's not like you could wake up and in one day be like, all right, we're ready for summer.
Isn't that because, though, you want to do more each year?
Right. You want to tweak it. You know,
okay. So if I told you two years ago, no, in 2 years you're going to be doing more, you'd be thinking 2 years ago, you can't do more than I'm doing.
Right.
But so then the next year you do more.
Yep.
And then the next year you do more. And this year you're planning on doing more.
Yeah.
You know, I pity those who really aren't involved in ministry where they're serving. We were created to serve.
Yeah.
And we weren't created to be self-centered. We weren't created to just watch out for whatever our family's looking for. We were created to serve. Mm-hmm. And I've never been happier in life than when I'm serving somehow.
Right. No, and I fully agree. I think there's so much you learn through serving other people. You learn how to die to yourself, putting their needs before your own, which in a culture that's created about me, I think that's a good thing.
Yep, absolutely.
But then you also start to appreciate the different gifts and talents that God has given other people. Because even as you serve other people, that's one thing I know. You know, because my job, you know, is yes, I'm in charge of summer, but really, like, summer at the end of the day isn't necessarily dependent on me.
No.
Because I have to trust and train so many other people to make summer happen.
Right.
You know, so it's fun then because then I take the gifts and talents that God has given me, serve other people, and trust them. Because if I had to do everything for summer, it wouldn't happen.
Right.
You know, and then it would be unhealthy. Right. But part of it is serving others so that way you see the team come together. And even when we get volunteers or summer staff in here, it's the same thing because they learn and grow through those opportunities.
Yep.
You know, I mean, I had the opportunity to grow up coming here, serving, volunteering and then serving, and along with many of other my friends. And I know that for many of them, it was so foundational. And they look back to it now and say, man, that, for lack of a better term, changed my life.
Right.
You know, not that, you know, it was the specific things they were doing, but it was how God, in the moments of serving, opened their eyes to see the way that he intended it to be.
Yeah. You know, and again, you know, this is my 57th year. I had to come as a kid because my dad started the ministry.
Yeah, you didn't have a choice.
I didn't have a choice. But I was here, and and I learned to serve.
Yeah.
And it's funny, now I'm pushing 70 years old, and now I'm saying, no, this is where joy is. Joy is in serving.
Right.
It isn't in being served. It's in being able to serve.
Yeah.
So when I see an 8-year-old child get off a bus or out of the car, I go, well, we get to serve him.
Yeah.
We get to be a part of something bigger. And then even bigger than that is what you were talking about. Every level, whether it be Nicolay Bible Institute or whether it be our summer staff or whether it be whoever's here, the whole process is let's learn to live the way God made us to live. And he made us to serve. Part of loving people is serving. And I'm very concerned about the generation that's growing up now because it seems like they focused on being served and being taken care of and they're missing out on how they were actually created.
Right.
And they were created to serve.
Yeah.
So if you're listening and you're not involved in serving, but you want everyone else to serve you, I promise you, you'll be a miserable person because you're not meant to do that and nobody will serve you good enough.
Yeah.
So then all of a sudden you're mad at everybody because they don't think you're as good as you think you are and how much you deserve and whatever else it might be. Mm-hmm. In fact, I wanted to talk about happiness today.
Yeah.
Because it's getting to be almost an epidemic with people who aren't happy. They're stressed out or whatever the word might be, anxious, depressed, whatever it might be, for various causes. Mm-hmm. And there's people that go and they say, okay, well, let's figure out why you're not happy. And they don't even know the definition of happiness.
Yeah.
Because they're trying to say happiness is something that happens when you don't have any pain or any sorrow or anything that's going bad today or whatever it might be. But we live in a fallen world where something's always going bad.
Mm-hmm.
So then people, to try and be happy, they try and escape from it. They try and say, well, let's get my mind so it doesn't think about it. So you have a lot of things on your mind for summer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, if I told you, get all those things off your mind, how could you do that?
I didn't even know.
Yeah, you can't.
It's just the natural part of it.
Okay. So yeah. There's a lot of things on your mind. Now there's things that you can learn that you should have on your mind, and maybe you have some things that you should not have on your mind because maybe there's too much in there.
Yeah.
And so that's what you hear people say, well, you got to let go of this, you got to let go of that. So if you were coming to me saying, you know what, I'm just totally possessed with my rose bushes don't have the right amount of, you know, I'd say, okay, let that one go.
Right, yeah.
You know, let the rose bushes just deal with themselves for right now. All right? Because it's one more fact you don't need at this point. You got other things going on. Or if you really like it, let me run over there and throw some horse manure on there and help you out a little bit or whatever I need
whatever
to do.
Whatever you need to do.
To get that off your mind. But the bottom line really is sometimes, you know, we try and escape this stuff in our minds because our minds won't shut down. Mm-hmm. So people do that in ways that are harmful. So they'll go and get drunk. They'll do it with alcohol. Or they'll think, if I just go on another vacation. And they think so much if they just went on one, they don't have the money for it. So they'll go borrow the money for it.
Yeah.
Because then they're saying, I just really need this vacation. So they'll go borrow the money for it. And then not realizing it down the road, they've made the situation worse because now they don't have the money that they borrowed for the vacation. The vacation's over and they're in the same place they were before.
Right. It's almost like that escape mentality.
Yeah.
Whether it's, you know, through vacation, through ignoring it, through this, that, or the other, they think, well, if I could just have a break from it, then it'll solve.
Yeah.
Rather than saying, all right, how can I healthily look at and set healthy expectations of what this happiness, this feeling should be. Because like you said, Dave, I think in our world and even in our lives, there's always going to be something. There's always going to be something that might be worrisome to us potentially. There's always going to be something that might be painful that happens. Or that might cause us to be anxious, but that's where we need to teach ourselves a healthy expectation of like, well, how did God create us to deal with this?
Right.
And what are we looking for? Because I think what our culture is trying to tell us is that with happiness, you know, as our culture talks about it, it's something that all of a sudden, poosh, there's no problems, and,
right,
we're 100% happy.
And
you know,
everybody
and
likes,
I naturally say that,
yeah,
but for what does that even mean?
Right.
You know, does it mean that I got the mansion, the car, the Tesla, whatever it is? I don't even know what people are striving for. And that's the thing, is it's different for everybody. But even then, you look at those people, and they don't always look happy.
No.
They don't always feel happy.
And the weird thing is you're looking at other people thinking they are happy.
Right.
And you're missing out.
Right.
But the truth is, if the definition is there are no pains, there are no sorrows, there are no, you know, I mean, there are so many things. When you look in the scriptures, one of the things I keep teaching at Nicolet Bible Institute is when you understand the way things are meant to be, there are things in life the way God meant them to be, and you get in line with that, you're actually happy.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
So the pursuit is trying to get in line with the way God meant it to be.
Yeah.
And I keep saying that's much simpler than we make it. Because if we don't know the way it's meant to be, for example, if you're in a marriage situation, and both of us are, the way that God meant marriage to be was between one man, one woman who are committed to each other for life.
Yeah.
No cheating on each other, committed to each other for life. What that does is it gives you a freedom within that relationship, and you can enjoy that relationship until the day you die.
Yeah.
Now, my wife and I have been married 44 years, and it's been a great thing. And I would say, man, this is one of the greatest things that God ever created. However, we did it the way God said to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So in that, there's a joy. Now, does that mean that everything about marriage is always happy? No.
Mm-hmm.
No, there's sicknesses, and there's disease. There's deaths in families. There's all kinds of stuff. So if your happiness is dependent upon everything going your way, well, you're going to be in trouble.
Right. Because at some point, something's not going to go
your
way.
No, it's not going to.
Yeah.
So you need to define happiness the way it should be defined. And if you don't know the way God made things, then you need to go back and look and see how he made things.
Mm-hmm.
And in today's world, we are so confused because so many people are trying to live outside the context of the way God made them.
Right. Well, not only that, I think our world has also taught us that we want it instantaneously.
Right.
On demand.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, well, not only do I want this, but I want it now.
Yeah.
And that doesn't happen either.
Yeah.
Because I think there's a process to everything.
There certainly is.
You know, and that's even, we see that in scripture.
Yeah. Now, you like pizza.
I would actually upgrade that. I would probably say I love pizza.
Yeah, there you go. So you're a pizza something.
You could say it, Dave.
I'm not going to.
I'm a pizza connoisseur.
There you go. Is that? I don't know that language. No, but that's good.
It was on the tip of your tongue.
Yeah,
I could tell.
Yeah, the word escaped me, but you got it.
That's right.
But so when you eat pizza, you have this happy feeling.
Yeah, my wife doesn't understand it.
Yeah, so you have this happy feeling. Now the trouble is, see, when you're trying to define happiness, you have to realize, you can look forward to pizza. That's good. You can eat the pizza, but you don't eat it 24 hours a day to stay happy.
No.
And not only that, it's not the pizza that necessarily gives you the satisfaction. It's the idea of putting these things together, having a nutritional meal that, you know, actually does something good for you. And the actual feeling is very minimal. It's short.
Yeah.
So if you have to have that all the time, you're in trouble. And that's why some people, they eat all the time. They think, why, that feels good. That feels good. I'm going to be happy. They gain a lot of weight. And it's like, well, now I've got to do something unpleasant. And by their definition of happiness, now they're not happy anymore because they have to work out.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Or they have to eat right. Or they have to. And now they're saying, poor me, I have to do something I don't want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Well, no. Once again, if you look at the way your body's created,
yeah,
your body's created so that you take calories in, you have calories go out. If you take too many calories in, then it goes somewhere. It goes to fat. If you take less calories in, you lose some weight. It's kind of a simple formula.
Mm-hmm.
Some people would argue and make it more complicated, but I like to stay simple. So
yeah.
For me, that's always worked. Less calories mean less fat. More calories mean more fat. More exercise means less fat. So there are things that keep me in line as far as the way I'm supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, this winter I fell, I hurt my shoulder, and my shoulders are kind of shot anyway. They're old shoulders. And
that's why the show's called Younger and Older.
Yeah.
You represent the older
side
of it.
they're not in great shape. However, I go to a chiropractor who's a good friend, and we talk about it. And I said, hey, you know what? I went and I started lifting weights again, and it's really helped the shoulders. And he goes, yeah, what are you doing? And I told him what I was doing. He goes, yep, that's a great range of motion thing. You need to keep doing it. But I'm thinking in my head, doing the weights doesn't make me happy.
No.
So I have to go through a moment where I go, unhappy Dave.
Yeah.
So I can get to the point where I can use my shoulders the way they're meant to be. You know what I mean? It's,
right.
It's
oh,
like,
yeah.
So I don't need to be happy all the time. I can go through this time where I say, I don't like doing it. And you know, and even some of the stupidest things, the reasons why, you know, it's up in our gym, which we have a nice weight room and that kind of thing for the Nicolet Bible students. But I have to open the stupid lock, and I have to go in there, and I have to, it's cold, and you're the only one in the whole building. It's like, I don't want to do any of this.
Right, but I mean, there's a phrase that, I don't know if it came out of your generation, there's no pain, no gain.
Right.
You know, I think it's the process that brings the reward. Sometimes, you know, I think I signed up for a marathon one time, Dave.
Yeah.
Well, don't ask me how.
Good luck for that.
It was one of those things. I mean, you look at me like, you look at me, you don't scream like, wow, he's a runner.
Not my first thought.
Right. You know, and like, so leading up to this, it was when I used to live in Northern Ireland, I did the Belfast Marathon. And so you train and train, and obviously there's certain things you should do. So I motivated myself enough to do like, all right, I shouldn't just wake up one day and run 26.2 miles. And so I tried training. For those runners out there, I probably didn't train enough, considering that the longest I ran before the marathon was 12 miles, not even half.
Probably.
So I did it, but I finished, which is great. So I ended up doing the marathon and finished it. But
somebody
I remember,
wheel you over the line, or did you actually?
I hobbled across the line, and then I burst into tears. But that's a different story. Okay. But what I'm getting at is like I just remember, you know. And if you run a marathon, I've learned to understand, like, everybody talks about hitting a wall. You know, if you never ran a marathon, well, you get to a point where it's just like, what in the world? You know, why hit my wall early? It was before I hit the halfway mark. And I started, I'm like, why in the world am I doing this? Like, what's the point? Like,
right.
This is stupid. This is hard.
Yep.
It's not fun. Like, why in the world would it? Like, and all of a sudden, you just listen to all these negative comments. But I pushed through, and I finished it. And I look back, it's like, wow, I can actually say I did that. You know, and so I think a lot of times, in the moments when things get rough, we try to turn to things to mask the journey.
Right.
Rather than saying, all right, God, it's in these moments that you've actually taught us to lean into you because there's something here that you want to teach us. Because it's not about me.
Right.
It's something bigger than me. And obviously that breaks down because it's like, well, you know, even in our circumstances, illustrations, you know, it's like, well, it's helping yourself essentially.
Right.
But I think a lot of it is we lose sight of the way that God has built things, you know. Like I said before, oftentimes we want everything right now and we think that's what happiness is.
Yeah.
But that's not how it works.
No.
You know, I think it's a mentality. It's a sense of different attitudes, if you would say, that helps us get to the point of that satisfaction that God has created us. You know, because even God, you know, created us. You know, he says, you know, in his presence, there is fullness of joy, you know. And it's like, wow, what does that mean? You know, it's like God has created us to live in such a way that we are relational. There's a reason he says love God first and then love others. And so then as we look through the lens of life, what are the things that help us do that? And I think that will begin the process of helping us understand how to pursue happiness and joy.
Right. You know, I think there really, in order to be truly happy, you have to go through unhappiness to get there.
Yeah.
Whether you like it or not. I mean, think about even when you were born, the childbirth process is painful, but it's joyful.
Yeah.
There's probably no greater joy in a mother's life than after the child is born. Mm-hmm. Probably no greater joy, but to get there.
Oh, yeah.
It's 9 months of pregnancy. It's a body that gets distorted. It's you know, I mean, so in that pretty much illustrates how life is. So anyone that's trying to be happy and avoid pain, you're avoiding the thing that gets you to be the happiest because you have to go through the pain in order to be okay. And God created us to go through the pain.
Yeah.
You know, your story reminded me of a time my father-in-law wanted to climb a mountain, and I was his partner, and I never wanted to climb a mountain. So I already had an attitude because I thought, I don't want to climb a mountain. But I liked doing things with my father-in-law, and we were good buddies. And so we went and we climbed this mountain. But I'm telling you, my attitude about three-quarters of the way up was not overly healthy. Mm. Yeah, I'm doing the same thing you did in the marathon. I was like, why am I doing this?
Yeah.
I am sure I could find a picture from somebody who went up there. I am so sure that I don't need to do this.
Right.
Well, the you know, your legs were aching and the air is thin and you're there. I can give you a billion reasons why not.
Yeah.
But then we stood on the top. And when we stood on the top, it was like, oh, this is what it took to get to the top. Mm-hmm. It took some effort to get there.
Yeah.
It's not like the reason that it was a magnificent sight was because of the effort. It wasn't because mm-hmm. I didn't do anything and all of a sudden I had this experience.
Right.
So I think, most of all, what we have to do, if we're going to be people who live in happiness, if we're going to even have that as part of our life, we really need to be those who start understanding the way we're meant to be, mm-hmm. and we live in that.
Right.
We're not in a world that's not broken. We're in a broken world, so that there will be trials, there will be troubles. We understand that. But we also know that God, who loves us, can get us through those. Mm-hmm. There were people on the mountain. There were real climbers on the mountain. And they would identify people like me who were struggling, and they would always say something or do something to help us. Mm-hmm. In other words, no, we know that look.
Yeah.
You know, that look is, I just want to go and become a ball and roll down the mountain. You know what I mean? I'm done with this. Well, they knew that. In fact, my father-in-law, who I believe, I can't remember now, he's his late 60s when we did this, and I was much younger.
Sure.
So he was putting me to shame. But the bottom line was, I knew that there was a point where he was struggling as well. And what was interesting is that point to me in life right now was one of my, I think, most precious moments with him. Mm-hmm. Because I saw him struggling. I knew his goal was to get to the top.
Yeah.
He had a lifelong goal. When he was a young man, he set the goal for this one mountain he wanted to climb.
Yeah.
He was sitting in Colorado, and he saw the peak, and he goes, one day, I need to do that. Mm-hmm. And so now he's getting to where there's not that many more chances. So as he was struggling, I decided, okay, now here's where God made us this way. He made us to serve. So I started to get in front of him. Mm-hmm. So that I could lead by example.
Yeah.
And my whole time, my head is going, I don't even want to be here.
Right. Right.
But I got in front of him and I started to do it. And then coming down, there were two ladies that were older than him.
Yeah.
And I went up to him and I said, see that guy over there? Yeah. He's thinking about quitting. And these ladies went after him.
Yeah.
They went right over to him and started talking to him. And they were his age bracket. And they started to talk to him. And he looked back and I said, that was the key moment for me. Mm-hmm. I had to go on.
Right.
And I thought, okay. That's how God made us to be.
Right, right.
He made us to go through these things, to help each other through them. But he didn't want to eliminate all these things.
Right. And that even goes back to that whole servant mentality that we talked about at the top of the episode, Dave, because in that moment, like, you didn't want to climb this from the start.
Right.
And so you could have read that a totally different way and be like, oh, here's my chance. I could be done.
Right.
And just let him quit. But you didn't. You put your own feelings aside to help him. And that's the beauty of it is then it becomes even more rewarding than you getting what you initially wanted. Yeah.
And the point we're making is very simple. Yeah. Happiness is not about this moment right now feeling good.
Right.
It's a moment about doing what's right mm-hmm. in the context of how we were created.
Yeah.
So if you want to feel good about life, you can.
Yeah.
But you can actually feel that way by living in the context of the way that you were created to live. And you were created to live. You were created to serve people. You weren't created to be served. Mm-hmm. And I just think we have a miserable nation today because all of us think that everybody out there should be serving us and giving us something and making our life better. And your life should really be about me. And because of that, we're miserable people. And then we have to go to the doctor and say, I'm a miserable person. And we're trying to treat something that's a physical problem, that's a spiritual problem, with a physical answer.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not. It's a spiritual problem. because we're trying to figure out how to live apart from the way God made us and still be content and happy and excited about life.
Right, right.
There's no way to do that.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you don't understand, but if you've been at camp and you've been at the places that I speak, you know that I have a favorite saying that says, God is older than you and smarter than you and loves you. You can trust him. Mm-hmm. He made us a certain way. We may not understand everything, but we need to trust him. And there's no way to trust God until you get to know him. Mm-hmm. So you got to spend time in the Bible. You need to do that. You need to admit the things. And this is what repentance is all about. But you need to admit the things that you do that are wrong. Say, these are wrong.
Yeah.
Now all of a sudden you're on the path to happiness, believe it or not. Mm-hmm. And some might be thinking, how can you, you know, you're living in a state where you say you're wrong. How can you be happy about that? Well, because you're not going to stay there once you confess it, once you say you're wrong. You know, it's a very simple thing to understand. There's no way an alcoholic can get help until they admit that they have a problem with alcohol. Mm-hmm. And every human being that ever lived has a problem with sin.
Yeah.
And that sin has separated you from God. So what I need to do is say, not that everyone has a problem with sin, I need to say, I have a problem with sin.
Yeah.
And when I say that, I am living in reality. Now, with that being said, I'm saying there is then an identified thing in my life that I'm doing wrong. So God, what do I do to make it right? Mm. Yeah. Now, all of a sudden, I'm living in a different context. I'm not living in the guilt of sin, and I'm not separated from God. I've gone to God, understanding that he's merciful, meaning he doesn't give me what I deserve.
Yeah.
So I go to God, and I talk to him and say, God, I'm wrong about this. And God goes, I knew you were wrong about that. However, I'm merciful. Now let's get this straightened out and let's go forward. Let's think differently. Mm-hmm. If you're somebody who's suffering from being sad all the time and you cannot figure it out, you cannot change the way you are by thinking the way you always have thought.
Or by isolating yourself
or by not talking about it with people who know God and love God, know the Bible. You are not going to get better unless you make an effort to know God and live in the context of the way we're created.
Yeah, and that's the important thing. It's changing your perspective and setting the expectation differently. Because if your expectation is you're going to be happy all the time, that nowhere does it say that. You know, and that's what we have to understand is that God is created in such a way that it's a process, you know, and that's what we're living for.
Yep.
That contradicts everything the world says. Unfortunately, we're running out of time on this episode of Younger and Older. I thank you for joining us. I encourage you to continue because this is only the start of this conversation.
Right.
And so make sure you tune in for the next one. We'll carry this conversation forward. And we just love being able to point to the main thing. So for now, this is Jason and Dave here on Younger and Older. Take care. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.